Morning, honorable members, officials from the department, and members of the public who are in attendance of this meeting. The meeting of today is to get a briefing by the Department of Small Business Development on the results of the program's reviews and proposals. Before I get into a background information on that, we will start by taking the apologies.
Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, colleagues from the department. Good morning, Deputy Minister. The only apology that I have received is from the office of the minister, which is saying she is attending the cabinet meeting. And then the other one that is still standing to the apology of honorable November, whom we heard that she was hospitalized, but so far we don't know how she. And then I just now received the one from Honorable Mwabe, who is attending the other committee meeting. Those are the three that I have. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. We now move to item number three. Item number three emanates from a presentation that was made by the department. The first presentation that was dealing with the strategic plan of the department. And in that meeting, the portfolio committee felt that this department has inherited a program which was under the Department of Trade and Industry, and the support services were scattered around. And then the portfolio committee felt that there was a need for doing a scientific assessment of the programs that were inherited from the Department of Trade and Industry, and also assess the support services that are actually provided in the implementation of those programs. We then allowed the department to develop an approach on this and undertake that assignment. When the department presented its first quarter review and the threat plan, the annual performance indicators of 2015-2016 financial year, the portfolio committee again realized that the recommendation portfolio committee to the department to undertake this scientific assessment has not been actualized. The portfolio committee then put a deadline as to when the department has to finalize this exercise and bring it back to the portfolio committee for the portfolio committee to look at what the recommendations are. And the understanding from the portfolio committee was that that process was going to be as follows. If the department was going to do the assessment on its own, it would then workshop that with its entities and come to the portfolio committee to present what is the thinking of the department and its entities was. The portfolio committee would also comment on those recommendations, informed by what the portfolio committee would have observed and identified through its engagement with the SMMEs and cooperatives, through its engagement in attending conferences that are organized by structures who represent SMMEs and cooperatives, and also through its oversight information. And that would then be discussed and agreed as to which of the recommendations are in line with the transformation policies of the country in terms of the economy. And I must say that from the perspective of the African National Congress Study Group, we were going to do that assessment using the economic transformation policies and resolutions of the ANC conferences, and also looking from a portfolio committee perspective on the felt need, that what is it that we hear and what is it that we see at community level, taking into account that we are public representatives. Therefore, our eyes focus more on what we find at community level as a need, felt need by those people that we provide services. We would also remember that during that process, then the department could not meet the deadline of the 30th of October. So when the department was invited in November to present what was supposed to have been workshopped by then, by the department and its entities, the department requested that it be allowed to bring the consultants that have done the assessment to make a presentation of the work that the consultants had done, which was then still going to go back to the department for the department to workshop and come up with a position of the department. But there is a point that I want to make that is on the very same meeting where the consultants were presenting, the deputy minister pointed out that the department was already implementing the recommendations of the consultants. Meaning that although the department still had to workshop with its entity, and the department had to come to the portfolio committee for the portfolio committee to make its own input informed by the observation on the ground, the department was already implementing the recommendation of the consultant. I am going back to this because an observation has been made in the past that the views of the consultant are very dominant in government. In some situations, they get implemented having not been processed. But at the end of the day, people who get punished for problems that are not actually talking to the felt needs of the community are the politicians. So there has already been a concern around that, which then led to a situation where Parliament had to establish what is called a budget structure in Parliament, which assists members of committees to then look at the relevance of the program that are being proposed by departments to the felt needs on the ground, to ensure that programs that are proposed by departments and they bring to the portfolio committee to approve a budget for are addressing the felt needs of the people on the ground. And if it is not so, then the portfolio committee would work a way of ensuring that the programs of the department and the budget allocation is addressing the felt needs on the ground. So I am giving that background so that we engage in this presentation having that in the back of our minds that day. We don't just receive presentations and rubber stamp them. We have a responsibility of ensuring that the programs that are presented to us are actually addressing the needs of the people who voted us to be here as public representatives. I will then welcome the minister. We have received an apology. We would give the opportunity now to the department to take us through item number 3. I don't know whether it's the minister that is going to start.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. As my apology indicated, we have a cabinet committee meeting. I just requested to come through, but I have to go back because there are issues that are related to our small businesses, so I have to go back, and the DG, of course, and the department will be making the presentation, and the deputy minister is also here. What I would have wanted to say from the very beginning is the processes that have been outlined by the chairperson, as yes, those are the processes that went through, and also the fact that the department did have its two-day workshop where all the members of the executive, if I may call it, no, management of the department participated, and there was even an outside facilitator. But also I would like to make the statement that it became very important for us to do the review. And the 2 years almost that we've been in office, I strongly feel that it was necessary to do that review. And that review that we now have in front of us, there are still just a few issues that we probably will have to deal with in terms of a way forward. But the department did have an opportunity of engaging a document or the review that was done by SNG. So we had time to do that. Those issues that are still needing some bit of discussions, we will continue to engage with them, because at the end of the day, my view is just simple and straightforward. We need to have programs that will have an impact on what the chairperson speaks to as the felt needs of small and medium enterprises and cooperatives. We need also to have programs that will really show a deep dent into the challenges that are faced by small and medium enterprises and cooperatives. And I would like to say to this meeting that this review that we have must not also be seen as the final, you know, there won't be any changes here and there as we go along, because this is a new department. As we go along and we find that there are other ways that we can be able to use, or other tools that we might be able to use in order to make an impact on what we are trying to do, and as well as ensuring that we fulfill the mandate of the Department of Small and Medium Enterprises, we will always come back to the Portfolio Committee. So I'm hoping that today's presentation will also get the vigorous engagement, because we do believe that what we have at the moment is what the department needs. And from here, we also need to deal with the issues of our capacity, personnel, capacity to be able to implement what we have here. We are also hoping that our situation will probably change from a financial point of view, so that what we got in the last year and what we have this year would make a difference, because at the end of the day, we need the resources in order for us to be able to implement this program. I'd also like to say, what we have here, we still do need to go out to the very same communities. We need to communicate what we have, because this is what we have not necessarily communicated very much about the review, because we could only communicate about it once it has been completed, adopted, and the Portfolio Committee is also comfortable with it. So we'll have to really have a very vigorous communication campaign, so that people, small and medium enterprises, can understand from where are we walking from and where are we going from there. So I don't want to waste too much time, save to thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity, and apologize that somewhere along the line I'll have to escape back to the Cabinet Committee meeting. Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm the Chairperson and members. Thank you, Minister. Good morning, Deputy Minister. Chairperson, there is a presentation before you. The presentation outlines one slide on the background, one slide on the purpose of the review, and then the program review, the purpose, that's the main reason why we're here today. There's a situational analysis, about 7 slides, methodology about 6, and then the key findings and recommendations, about 25 slides, way forward about 3, and then we also have an appendix of the individual findings of each of the 2, or summary of the findings of each of the 22 programs that were reviewed. And with your permission, Chair, I'm not going to present that detail, but rather the findings in terms of a few strategic themes. The background is well known to this committee, and we merely stated here for the record, and you've just explained how this review came about, that the Department of Small Business Development was essentially cut out of the rib of DTI, and the programs that were transferred from that department, and at the time that it was the decision to not interrupt the services to cooperatives and small businesses, but implement that with the understanding that they will be reviewed such that they are aligned, can be aligned to the mandate of the department, and to determine the extent to which changes have to be made. Hence, the purpose of the review was largely the only you also referred to the department not meeting the deadline that the committee had set, and to acknowledge that there were delays, and the delays were on our part. But we eventually commissioned external service providers to assist us with the review of the program and to advise on alignment and scaling up of interventions. I also heard you mention that if the department were going to do the review itself, and the decision at the time was that it would not be a scientific review as requested, or give the desired outcome, because the officials that are working in the department were vested with the past in the past and in the program. So if I can go to the almost the context at which framed the review at the time, the issues which we put to the consultants that were important, and which they took into account. I guess the preamble of the Constitution, which is our articulates the long-term development goals for the country, and the preamble of the Constitution is has its foundation in the Freedom Charter, and we think that one of the provisions that the people shall share in the country's wealth is one of those aspirations that informs the establishment of the department. There are particular sections in the Constitution that speaks to our mandate that we support in its implementation. One of those is the section 22 about the citizens' rights to choose and trade and occupation and the profession, and the other is around procurement and the possibilities for state organs of state for implementing or procuring goods and services for the protection and advancement of persons or categories disadvantaged by unfair discrimination. Pardon that title there, Chairperson. Then there's also a set of national objectives that was very salient, rather in the National Development Plan, and that provides for, sets very ambitious targets for the creation of SNME development and sets very, very clear guidelines in that regard. So, for example, objectives that we have discussed in this house before, that the share of SMMEs would have substantially increased by 2030. And if the NDP has set the vision for creating 11 million jobs by 2030, at least 90% of those jobs will be created by small businesses through labor labor absorbing industries and to raise exports and competitiveness. And the NDP also then alluded to what needs to be done in order to enable small businesses and cooperatives to be these catalysts for growth and job creation, and drew attention to the need for better coordination of activities from all sectors, agencies, DFIs, and public and private incubators, that there was a need for regulatory reform to boost entrepreneurship and innovation, and the commitment to the 30-day payment of smaller suppliers, and access to debt and equity and equity finance, and to also address the other non-financial needs such as the skills gap. We then also, by the time this review commenced, it was after the 2015 SONA, but we took into account the announcements of the 2014 SONA, where in the president announced that the economic transformation would take center stage in the program of the fifth administration, and the prioritization of small businesses as well as townships and informal economies was highlighted at that stage as well. In the 2015 SONA, the president, where there was a much stronger statement for the announcement of the 9-point plan to grow the economy, and that will focus on radical transformation, and one of the pillars that would bring about the radical socio-economic transformation is the unlocking of the potential of SMEs, cooperatives, townships, and rural enterprises. And in 2015, the president also announced that government would set aside 50% of its procurement of goods and services for purchasing from SMEs, cooperatives, and rural enterprises. There was also the general counsel of the ruling party that took on the issue of the need for a vibrant and a mixed economy, and the need for synergistic and mutually reinforcing relationship between private and public sectors, and with regard to how the economy, where small businesses are located in the economy, and how the unlocking of SMEs and cooperatives would be achieved, there is a very strong position on encouraging the creation of new businesses, cooperatives, and the expansion of small businesses, reducing the cost of compliance and transaction costs, and making it easier, easing the business in environment. So those are some of the policy issues. From who is active in the environment, I think in other settings, we talk about the competitor analysis. There was also a reflection on the stakeholders, and the overarching sense was that there were a plethora of departments and agencies and foundations at all levels of the province, of government, provincial, local government, and in the private sector, NGO sector, that has been focused on some area of small business support. and that the impact is in fact hampered by overlapping mandates and an imbalance in approach between policy and execution, and that the resources are wasted also in the duplication of services, that they have.
That's not the first version that we're supposed to.
That's it. And it's a print of one different to what's there.
Oh, okay.
So I must look at that one. Okay. Sorry, Chairperson. I'm just noticing that there are some changes that should have been made. That there are significant resources that from in the private sector that are directed at the SNMEs, and but there is the comment on top of that slide is important. The absence of a coordinating platform that would enable this efficient execution. Because of that absence, the market response and the market here includes both the private and public sector has been fragmented. And that it is, and therefore is a very difficult space for small businesses and cooperatives to coordinate and to navigate. Until the establishment of the department, there was also no one leading in that space. The next factor that was taken into account was the mandate, the vision and the mission of the department as it is stated there. And I think those are issues that the mandate that is known to this committee, because it features in our presentations to this committee about we have to lead. The department was put in place to lead an integrated approach to the promotion and development of small businesses and cooperatives through a focus on economic and legislative drivers that stimulate entrepreneurship. And the vision is that by 2019 there would be a radically transformed economy through the effective development and increased participation of SMEs and cooperatives. And our mission is to create that conducive environment through the provision of a number of services. So another, the next element that impacted upon the review were the strategic objectives of the current year, and as it is stated there, and I won't read all of them, Chairperson. And then what was salient at the time, taken from all this information, and the reason why we were having the review, is the tension between the mandate and strategic focus. And so, on the one hand, the need to support the dynamic established SMEs with growth-focused efforts, and on the other hand, on poverty eradication, which focuses on the poorest of the poor. And that seems, and that graphic or that symbol, their figure, it tends to depict a scale and the need for the given that we have a broad mandate as a department, and we do not have the luxury of focusing on one or the other, but we have to find the balance to ultimately prioritize that which is of highest impact, and that framed the review. Then if I can proceed to the methodology, the next section, the review had a diagnostic phase which looked at an external analysis of the policy environment, some of the things that I've just discussed, then an internal analysis of the current strategy of the department, and an internal analysis of the programs, projects and program review, and of the budget and operations. And then the other leg of the review was the design to make strategic recommendations on the optimal portfolio mix to deliver the DSED mandate and to present a business case to support the recommended program portfolio, as well as an implementation plan and a communications plan, which Minister referred to in her opening remarks. So the methodology that was followed, basically it was looking at what is the opportunity, to do an opportunity analysis. Our view is that the small business function was taken out of DTI to be different. It was not taken out of DTI to duplicate what has been done, but to do something fundamentally different. And it presented this new department with an opportunity to design something completely new based on what is, we believe, opportunities within the environment, and all of the research that showed that the potential that of small businesses to in fact turn around the economy. So the opportunity analysis that would look at also the extent of the problem, who is the population we are trying to serve, and the overarching policy mandate, and look at the various inputs and activities and the impact that they have, and looking at it both from a quantitative and qualitative perspective, and also to look at the outcomes as well as the impact, whether the current portfolio meets the required impact required to address the social problem and what the gaps are. So the next slide, 16, just puts what I've said now in a diagram that shows the value chain from opportunity to impact, and the questions that were asked is whether we have understood the opportunity that we were given as a new department, and do we have a plan to pursue that, and then to be measured ultimately as to whether we are pursuing, executing the plan and delivering the desired results. So based on that, there were a set of program criteria. And the main criteria were what was the strategic relevance and alignment of the to mandate of each of the programs, its design and efficiency, and the level of impact and opportunity of cost. And under each of those criteria, there were particular variables that we looked at. So, under strategic relevance and alignment to mandate, questions asked included, does the program contribute towards the department's strategic objectives? Is it within the departmental mandate? Are the links to the overarching objectives mutually exclusive and collectively exhaustive? Under criteria 2, program design and efficiency, the questions asked were, is the program design optimal given its objectives? Is the program's use of resources efficient? And the level of impact and opportunity cost, questions included, is the program equipped to deliver the impact required to meet its targets? Is the program equipped to deliver the impact at the level required to make an impression on the department's mandate? And are there other higher impact opportunities that are being foregone because of investment in this program? Then those criteria were put into a scorecard as depicted there, and with a score and each of the criteria were weighted in a particular way, and the scoring range from 1 to 5, meaning highly unattractive to attractive, and the outcome was one of four recommendations: to either upscale a program, to restructure, to transfer or partner, or to discontinue. So the next section, Chair, goes to the findings and the recommendations. This slide is for us the most important slide, because what came from the review were a set of strategic recommendations or themes. The one is, given the background, given our mandate, given the context in which we found ourselves, that the need to rationalize and refocus program activity on areas of highest impact. Two, to create a clear delineation of responsibility between the department and its entities. Three, to invest in a robust policy, research, monitoring and evaluation capability. Four, to package the offerings of the department and its entities, CEDA and CEFA, and present a single point of entry to SMMEs and cooperatives, to strengthen the points of interaction between other areas of government, like an intergovernmental approach, and with the private sector.
Sorry.
To consolidate the mandate for cooperatives to improve focus, and lastly, to bear down the structure and conduct the proper change management process.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Honourable Kula.
The next slide
wanted the water and then you realize it's pot container.
Spent some minutes, I think I brought my old farm and I brought a bottle of water in here, but I could not get to my water in my bag. But thank you, Honourable Kruger, for sharing your water. So based on what I have said, the review recommended significant changes in program activity. It which includes the discontinuation or transfer of 10 programs and the restructuring of a further 12. And that in essence is the summary. And I'm not going to go into the detail of that slide. That slide is summarized in slide 23. As it said, if we act in this way, we, the department, would in doing so free up 25% of the operating budget for allocation to higher impact programs and for capacitation of under-resourced priority functions. Also to note, Honourable Chairperson and members, that by this time the department had not received any additional money for programs. The only program budget that we had received was, I've got one, thank you, that we received,
maybe some hot water,
was the DTI budget, and therefore we have to obtain different results and impact with the same budget. And so there's a summary of the programs that need to be upscaled, that need to be structured, and the others that will be that should be discontinued and or transferred. The second recommendation, so this
is basically the speaks to the strategic theme one, that we have to rationalize and focus the department's attention and resources on activities of highest impact based on the questions that were asked during the review. The second set of recommendations was a theme was around creating a clear delineation of responsibility between the department and its entities. And here, the recommendation is transferring certain implementation functions from the department to CEDA, while at the same time moving any legislation, policy, or monitoring and evaluation functions that are with entities to the department, and recognizing that this shift would add as much as 20% to the department's budget and also impact on the budget of the entities. There were maybe two examples. One example is that CEPA, there is a hotline on where that small businesses access to complain about the non-compliance with a 30-day payment turnaround. That is located at CEDA. Or there was a decision that the department, recognizing the attrition rate within small businesses, the department was asked to develop by Cabinet Nkosla to develop a business rescue strategy for small businesses. The department gave that part, CEPA was leading that part, and that is policy work that needs to be done in the department. Those are two examples. And I think what also is important, and this is a recommendation that obviously cannot be implemented by a stroke of a pen. It is something that is part of a program of transition, recognizing that CEPA has also undertaken a review. And the fact is, CEPA is an entity reporting to the department. It is an entity with offices in each of the 9 provinces and with a total of 55 offices throughout the country. So it makes sense prudent to be able to use that infrastructure in order and to expand the existing infrastructure and look at CEDA's business model and deal with its warts and all, and in order to ultimately deliver the service that is required. And I think earlier, Chairperson, you made a reference, I think, twice to the felt needs of small businesses and cooperatives. And the view is, if we make this delineation, it will free up the department to focus on its role as a national department, which includes the oversight of entities. The national departments are responsibilities. We are the ones who have to develop policy and the regulations and assist, put bills on the table that are put before Parliament. These roles and delineation also touches on two other issues. The one is the sector-specific focus. Now, the advice to us is that we needed to be pragmatic about the resources available to the department. And what is available in the DTI and other the roles and the mandates of other departments and other sector players. That there are SME needs that cut across sectors. That there are needs that all SME services that we have to provide for all SMEs. However, that there are certain a value chain specific intervention that would improve the impact of support services. But that insecticide example, the example that's given here, the working capital finance mechanisms for agriculture might be very, very different to what is needed in other sectors. And therefore, it is tempting for us to organize ourselves around sectors, but it is not pragmatic, given the resources available, the possibility of duplicating those same support functions that are needed in all sectors, duplicating those, having several chief directorates and directorates with whatever goes with it. And so it will create another layer of human resource and infrastructure we do not have the capacity for. And as I said, at the time when this review was undertaken, and that position hasn't changed much, we did not even have money to create extra posts. So how do we deliver a different outcome with the same people in the same arrangement? And so also in the milieu of scarce resources, something that we thought was important was to leverage stakeholder capacity effectively and in that way unlock resources. So one of the recommendations which we accepted was the last bullet point there. Given the funding level, that it seemed prudent not to organize the department into sector focus units, but rather to set a coordination and the stakeholder management function and the capacity to engage in this. And also I make reference to the earlier slide where it says that services out there and opportunities are fragmented. Another point that impacted our decisions around this clear delineation is an approach to mainstreaming. And we've taken the view that the most efficient, that mainstreaming is the most efficient way that priority groups such as women, youth, and people with disabilities, enterprises in townships and in rural towns, and that it can receive maximum support because we will leverage impact far better than siloed activity. And specifically, what has happened, and I think what has happened in the department that the unit that we inherited from DTI, what if you had a gender unit, you have people focusing on youth, etc., etc. And typically, those units are under-resourced. What the reviewer showed is that many of those youth programs and some of the women-focused ones, it was there, but it actually had no budget. So the view is that rather than set up siloed functions that duplicate operational overheads and program design, that these groups should be mainstreamed. And that we will demonstrate to the committee when we present our portfolio committee that for the first time you will see in the strategic plan of the department that there's a target like 50% of all programs will benefit women. 50% of all programs will benefit youth. There's a percentage that talks to benefiting enterprises in township areas and in rural areas, and we are prepared to be held accountable for that. And so we believe that it does not diminish the prominence of the priority, but amplifies the support it is able to receive. So that is the other area. The next one, here's the one, okay, the clear delineation. I think I've talked to that one. This slide it says there what we believe the following that I'll talk to, the value chain approach to our environment, and that our work that it is around legislation, regulation, policy, strategy, program design and innovation, also program piloting. And once we know and we've tested it and we've done the incubation and it works, it needs to be taken to scale by others. Stakeholder management and monitoring and evaluation. And I think I've talked to this, but I think what is the issue is here that we the need to adopt a value chain approach, a value chain based product and services architecture, because it will enable us to address the sector deficiencies and position the department as the custodian of overall sector performance, not just our budget, but the small business focus throughout over the three spheres of government. So the conceptual value chain that we've adopted is in on the slide that's on the screen now. And so the recommendation has been that we organize ourselves along these functions. And as currently our focus is very heavily weighted on program operations, financial and non-financial, but hardly any focus on some of the other areas. For example, I heard a minister making reference to communication. As we sit here, we do not have any budget for communication, and there's only one person in communication. We do not have a strong research and policy function, etc. And so this value chain, we're arguing, executives therefore act as a team to develop strategy and manage business performance. The next slide I think we've talked to that because we believe that the future focus of the department should be across that broad facilitation and coordinating function across the value chain, and not just as it is right now, the deep focus on actual implementation. And the following slide, I think what this is just wanted to say, although we don't have all of the information because we were interrogating that with our colleagues over the last 36 hours, but right now the bulk of our budget and our resources, in fact 80% of our budget or 88% of our budget is transferred in direct program support. And the rest is for administration, for all of the other functions that we have to perform. The third recommendation, Chair, is on to invest in robust policy, research, monitoring, and evaluation capabilities. And our view is that a fully capacitated policy research, monitoring and evaluation capabilities are critical to creating a constructive feedback loop within the department, and it will allow for constant optimization activities based on empirical analysis rather than opinions, in order to maximize impact. And so, and it's based also, the view is based, it says most departments and the measure input and output rather than impact, and do not sufficiently capacitate that research function so that there can be continuous improvement, and we are no different. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. I think this is self-explanatory, and there could be little arguments with that. Then it goes back to the importance of the next slide goes back to that the approach, the value chain, and says and tries to highlight the importance of M&E, because it's only if there is that strong function and that we begin to understand the importance of monitoring from the point of planning
to know what it is we're planning for and be able to measure and to communicate the impact. The next slide, Chair, begins to frame the next few slides, takes us towards that service delivery model and how we see our role. For example, it then says, so what are those indicators? What are those impact indicators that we want to achieve? And we begin to say, and you will see that, and this is in line with our with the 9-point plan. In the 9-point plan, we have said there are three areas of impact. Firstly, an economic contribution, and the contribution of SMMEs to GDP. Then a social contribution, which is the contribution of SMMEs to employment creation and sustainable livelihoods. And then a dimension of what is called entrepreneurial dynamism, that we have to take an interest in the establishment and the survival of new businesses. I think one of Minister's favorite quotations is the Goldman Sachs report that says, if South Africa's growth can peak at 5% by 2019, if government and the private sector together invest in 300,000 new businesses every year. Now, unless we set ourselves that target and sit down and say, how are we going to create that? In which sectors we are not going to get there? So I believe that in terms of the thinking of these impact indicators, we are introducing that shift to the radical social economic transformation. As a part of the work that is being done, that needs to be done by that research unit, is to say, if these are the changes that we want to achieve, what is the current state? And then being able to measure whether in 2019 we have progressed to those areas. The following slide speaks then to the specifics that we have said. We've been quite bold. I'm not going to go into all of that detail, but in the 9-point plan, when we account to the economic cluster and to cabinet, we account for these kinds of targets. I'll take one example. Currently, it is estimated that there are 7.33 million jobs created by the small business sector. And so we say that has to grow to 9.09 million. So therefore, what is it that the department must do about creating the environment? Because this increase in jobs is not going to come through our budget. This increase in jobs has to come from all our government at all levels and the private sector, and therefore we have to set ourselves up to fulfill that coordinating function and invest our energy in becoming the mobilizing and coordinating force. The fourth area is one on packaging the offerings with CEDA and CEFA to present a single point of entry for SMMEs. I thought we had this one that said the SMMEs and cooperatives. I'm convinced this is not the right version of the presentation that we are showing here. And the... Yeah. No, I'm absolutely convinced that, and I don't want to interrupt, and we actually have changed it. So the, I don't know where the, and maybe if when the questions are asked, my colleagues can put on the right version. This one goes to the need to reduce red tape and to improve access to government services, that it is critical to present a simple, single point of entry for SMMEs and cooperatives that provides the full range of services from what it is we do, what it is CEFA does, what it is CEDA does, and other entities. There's NEF, there's a whole lot, and some of the work of municipal entities as well. And also say it's not necessary to spend
the significant emission spend, the significant sources it requires to integrate systems. There's a lot that can be done to improve the visibility and the accessibility. So I think it's taking as one of the targets that we have right now is the co-location points. And I believe it's taking it to the next level. And this is an area of work that we are doing. So, Chair, I think you made the comment of the department is already implementing some of the findings. This is one of those that we are implementing. We actually didn't need the consultants to tell us what to do. It is something that is active, and we know that we have to take this to the next level. So, and so we will be investing the resources in this. The next slide, just Chair, it's just part of because we always ask ourselves when we take particular decisions, what is the science that informs it? And this basically speaks about an approach to public sector transformation that says we are obliged to put in place high quality citizens facing service delivery models. And that there should be full alignment between the operations and clear accountability. So, I think the first row speaks about the problem statement, that institutions don't have clear client service delivery propositions. I think the kind of thing that Basupele requires of us, that citizens know what it is they can expect of us, and that the institutional operations are not supported to meet that commitment, and that there are unclear offerings and ineffective operations. And then it begins to say, what are the set of solutions? So I think it is this framework that is informing the conversation that we are having between ourselves, CEDA and CEPA. Another element, so we're looking at this area of work with different lenses. The other lens beyond the public sector transformation is to look at the needs of small businesses. And so we know that to be successful, small businesses and cooperatives require an efficient operating environment to conduct their affairs, as well as the ready availability of direct support. And therefore we believe what it is we have to do over the next few months, and we don't have the luxury of time to sit on this for 3 years, and is to find the balance between creating an enabling operating environment for SMEs and the direct support. But it is both those areas need to be under our purview. Because and the next slide begins to talk about some of the interventions that are pertinent to the operating environment, the legislation work, the policy work, the regulatory work, and the direct support that begins to talk to the financial and the non-financial support. We also think that if we have an understanding of those two tasks, we also need to look at business, small businesses, medium, micro, small, startups, informal, cooperatives have different needs. We'll have different needs in terms of direct support, in terms of how the environment works for them. But as we begin to be scientific about this in this particular service delivery model. The next slide, Chair, and I'm not going to talk to this, the other thing that is going to take into account is that businesses go through a particular life cycle. And that has not been part of our discourse at all. And therefore they're going to need different things from us at different times. And it requires different interventions. So Chair, I think there's we're beginning to say we've got to interact with that with a value chain and be clear about our role. The next one is strengthening the points of interaction between other areas of government, because there are different parts of government, whether it's legislation, regulations, or whether it's the mandate of different departments, the development responsibility, locally, for example, that local government is responsible for local economic development. District municipalities for integrated development planning, the IDPs, etc., and with the private sector. And here we say it is estimated that around 36.2 billion rand in enterprise development, CSI and other spend occurs annually in South Africa. And rather, that our job is not to compete with that, but that we should work to improve the social returns of this. Because there is a significant, in our short experience, we find that there is an appetite in the corporate sector to upscale their development activities and to make a difference and to have an impact, but that it needs to be properly integrated. And so that is what we need to provide, that integrating and coordinating platform. The next slide begins just to talk a little bit more, gives an analysis of that 36 billion, of where it is and where it comes from. And the last sentence on that slide at the bottom, that the department must create a framework to move away from the disparate de-linked activities that currently occur in the sector towards a consolidated effort with shared objectives. And then in terms of intergovernmental relations, we also know that sometimes it is the same department that goes to that partner at different times. Today I drive it with my car, and tomorrow the official on the fifth floor drives out, etc., or different government departments in the same cluster are engaging with and asking of people. So we're saying, I think our understanding of the ecosystem of state entities insofar as planning and local development is concerned is that the provision of services to SMMEs and cooperatives must be properly integrated. And it will take time. I don't think that we must set a foolish target of saying this will be achieved by June or whatever. It is a process. It is an aspiration that we're working towards. And our understanding, I think that those two little figures says it all. The current disparate fragmented space. And at first, I think the thing that we would like to achieve is that we just know who is there. Who is there and an agreement that we will work together in a coordinated way. But ultimately, it must be the single point, one-stop-shop experience for clients. The second last one, Chair, is to consolidate the mandate for cooperatives to improve the focus. Now, this is also an area of work that we are doing, Chair. We did not need the review to tell us what we should be doing around this. There is a Cooperative Development Act that makes provision for structures. The Cooperative Development Agency, the Cooperative Tribunal, the Cooperative Training Academy, etc. And the fact is that there has never been funding that has been allocated for the establishment of this. And we know, we appreciate that we are within a very, very constrained fiscal environment. But what is it that we can do? And our view is there is a unit. I think the bulk of our budget, or most of our budget, a big part of us, that 88% that we transfer, is for cooperative development. And how do we begin to use that capability that we have to establish a government entity? How do we make it happen with what we have? And we might have to lean on the support and the services of our entities. For example, should this agency be establishing its own offices all over the country to be of assistance to people who need that services, or do they piggyback on the existing 55 offices of CEDA? Those are the kinds of things that needs to be considered. So we will complete the consultation, and we would need to push, and we believe that we have to be a lot more assertive around the need for that, and we will need support for also, I think Chairperson, you made mention earlier about the Parliament's ability to influence how the budget is determined. And we need to bring a proposition to you in terms of what it will require to put in place these enabling structures for cooperatives. The last one, Chair, is around bedding down the structure. And I think if I remind you of that slide that talks about public service transformation, it means that we have to have a different structure. And Chair, we have begun to implement it. There's no way we can go into another year without the policy and research function. We offer this service and this service, a whole lot of different grants. We have to begin that, even just as a department, we have a single point of entry for clients. So, Chair, the last few slides, that's to say that we have adopted the value chain product and services architecture, because we really believe that it will enable us to address the sector deficiencies and positioning the department as the overall custodian of the sector. And as Minister says, we might have 5 years up the line, 3 years up the line, we might have a different view, but this is what we think will work best for now, and because it makes a lot of sense. I'll come back to the themes and to say we are implementing these, because some of it, I don't think there's any intent to be disrespectful of who needs to decide, but some of these things have been in progress, and it's what we are required to do in terms of our mandate. And the last slide just talks to a number of work streams that are in place, and to say some of the areas can be done quite easily, and others will have to take more time as we transition into it. But I think what we will appreciate is an engagement with the strategic themes. The implementation thereof, that is something we must do. But the engagement with the strategic themes, because we believe that it has a lot of merit. Minister, I'm going to end there.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I took a bit long.
Are there any additional questions from
Thank you very much, Chair. For me, I'm not sure whether it's an addition or whether it's a point of information. With my engagement with the consultants in terms of the methodology used, it wasn't a scientific one. And it was done through either project managers or junior officials who are working with those programs. And to me, this is subjective to what they had to do. In some instances, is in the places where very lazy officials don't want to do work and they say this can't work. It is not based on the scientific research done or even the beneficiaries as well. It would have been good if we could have had some of the beneficiaries then to say, this is how it has helped me or killed my business. So that is the point that I want to raise at this point in time.
At this point, I am going to allow questions that relate to what has been presented. I am not going to open the discussion that relates to how scientific or not how scientific research was. because I don't think that that is going to help us in any way. What is going to help us in this process is that these members of the portfolio committee saw a need for an assessment of the program that were inherited from DCI. And scientific in our view is what would make sense even to us in terms of our own understanding of what we come across when we are in oversight and what gets presented to us by SNME and cooperatives. Because Stella, we don't live in a space, we live in community. Even what we say can sometimes be called not scientific if it is not done by the professor of a particular university, but it doesn't mean that I would not know my community because I'm not a professor. So let us put aside the methodology that was used and get into the content of this presentation. Maybe we will find another platform to engage on the issue of whether it is scientific or not scientific. I will open the opportunity for members to ask questions. Honorable Kruger.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, DG, for this presentation. I don't have a question. I just want to make a comment, if I allow, Chair. You know, there's a story in the Bible about the farmer that sowed his seeds, and some of the seeds fell on the road, and the birds come and eat them all up, and some of them fell in the thorns, and then the thorns stopped them growing, and some of the seeds fell in the land that was very productive, and so it was very successful. And I think since the beginning of this department, we tend to sow on the roads, on the hard roads and in the thorns. And it's the first time I feel comfortable that the seeds are landing in fertile ground. And I think, and I want to congratulate the department, I think from here on, we can start moving. Thank you, Chair.
Any other member?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I think my honourable friend's message is well taken, and I would agree with it. What is interesting to me is that this presentation is virtually a rehash in its entirety of the report that we were presented last November. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because I think that the report that was presented was a thoroughly excellent report, notwithstanding the Deputy Minister's comments about its possible non-scientificness. But it does raise a few questions which I'd like to just touch on, if I may. The first one is the ability of the department to play this role that is being adopted, that of broad facilitator rather than deep implementer, does present some significant challenges. And one would suggest that almost had the function been located within the presidency as opposed to within a department, its chance of success would be greater, because it would come with a greater degree of authority than that of a department. And I'd be interested to know the Minister's response, if she's available before she goes back to her committee, on this, but also the department's via the DG's response. Because essentially what it's saying is that the department must be the champion for fundamental legislative and policy initiatives, reforms, whatever one calls them, that will have to take effect across the economy, and will have to be considered thoughtfully by finance, by DGI, by economic development, agriculture, essentially every department of state. So it does pose a great challenge to the minister that she begins to reassess herself in this role as the champion of small business. And this then comes back to the way in which the department is evaluated, and I think that the emphasis on the contribution of small business to GDP growth, to job creation, enterprise sustainability, become the critical measures of performance. Because if you are dealing with those measures of performance at that level, then you will be seen to be having an impact. Not in the sense of, you know, a couple of million to this program, a couple of million to that program, a few gazelles here, you know. Those are incidental to the real economy. The real economy is out there in the hundreds of thousands of businesses that are trying to do business, but grappling with red tape, regulations, grappling with labor issues. It's those areas that the ministry and the department has to grasp by the throat and realize that that is actually their true impact. I'm not saying programs are unimportant, but in our view, that is the area which has been neglected by this department, by the ministry and by the minister herself, because of the problems that she will face in coming up against her alliance partner. So that's the first point from a political perspective. The other thing is that, sadly, the brief of the consultant did not extend to including a thorough evaluation of CIFA and CEDA. And that is sad because, as the DG pointed out, 90% of the department's budget is transfers to those agencies. So the competence of those agencies in delivering on their mandate is absolutely critical to evaluating the performance of the department. And I would urge that both this committee and the department and the ministry undertake stage two of this strategic review by looking very critically at the deliverables, the capacity to deliver on the mandate by CEDA and CEFA. In particular because, in regards to CEFA, there is talk, as referenced in the State of the Nation address, about creating a new entrepreneurial fund to stimulate growth and support for small business. And whilst it wasn't presented last week by CEFA, CEFA's performance is a source of serious concern, both in terms of its cost-to-income ratio of 155% and its impairment ratio in direct loans of 58%. So, you know, one, with those basic stats in mind, one has to take a view that the performance of CEDA and CEFA needs to be reviewed very, very urgently. The next question then is, in terms of implementation, I see the work streams. So that's the plan. What's the timeline? What is the cost? How long is it going to take for this department to get to grips with these recommendations, start to implement the new structure, capacitate the structure with competent people, and persuade Treasury that unless it provides the means for which the department needs to develop a policy and research and monitoring and evaluation capacity, you know, it's never going to work. So those issues are going to come up, obviously, in the extended public committee debates. And, you know, and I think to save the minister some pain during those debates, it would be advisable that she starts to ask those questions as soon as possible. Another thing is the issue of the co-ops. The chairperson and I pointed out in the meeting last week that the co-ops are problematic. A, because at the moment they represent a program on their own, although possibly they won't in future, even though they've absorbed a minuscule amount of the budget. But I think the question must be asked, what is the contribution of co-ops to the economy of South Africa? Now, the chairperson likes to talk about co-ops as being one of three pillars of the economy, the other two being the private sector and the public sector. In my view, that gives way too much prominence to co-ops, because probably if one was to assess the contribution of co-ops to the economy, it's minute. So I think we need to ask the question, what is the current contribution of co-ops to the economy? What is its potential? What are the potential contributions that the co-ops may make to the economy? And if they are significant, what steps is this department taking to exploit that opportunity? One thing that I didn't quite understand was on page 26 of the presentation, the DG talks about a separate directorate for mainstreaming. But why is the separate directorate for mainstreaming necessary if mainstreaming or if gender, youth, and people with disabilities are going to be part of each department's deliverables anyway? Why do you need a separate directorate to monitor that? Surely that would be monitored within the functions of the value chain department. So I just need a bit of clarity on that. And then finally, just because it doesn't appear to be here, are there any recommendations that the department did not agree with? Did the department or the ministry push back the consultants on any of the recommendations? Because it seems to have swallowed the whole thing hook, line, and sinker at this point. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, I have six questions. The first one is page 4 about the CISRE Chabon Bind GoBondo.
Is it GoBondo or GoBongo?
GoBondo. Okay, because I can see it's spelling here. Yeah? So, I want to know how much did they charge our service department to do this undertaking to review the cost effective. Page 8 is about the SONA 2015, where the President announced the 9-point plan. So I want to know how many transversal agreements which the department now, that we're talking, signed with the department or local government or provincial government for this 30%. Just to be updated. And the other question is page 10 about the GSB mandate. I don't know, maybe it was also mentioned in another meeting, but I wanted to know what is the fuss about changing the name to include cooperatives. Because as you are reviewing, it's long when we are asking the word cooperative to be included in the name of the department. And the other question is page 26. Page 26 is about the ministry directorate. I truly support that, but I would like maybe the DG to start it slow, not to make a directorate maybe with the DDG when we start. Maybe to study to maybe with a director post as the head of the directorate to specially focus on the women, youth, and people with disability, and also to monitor not only within the department, even out in the entire department, whether this empowerment to those groups is being followed or not. The page 35 is about the CEDA and CIFA. I heard during the SONA this year, the President mentioned about the state-owned enterprises to be reduced. So how about also if the department can think of joining both CEDA and CIFA to be one entity with different objectives, so that we must have one CEO, one board, and different functionalities in order to face the state funds. Page 37 is about the direct support, which I wanted to know maybe the DG to expand. How are you going to effect this direct support to the small businesses and cooperatives? Because that is the most important thing. Because like the department officials, they are not going down to the people. When we were busy with the oversight, we find so many things, which is also the officials, we find them being cash surprised. So I want to know the strategy for this direct support. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question has to do with the vision of the department being to increase the participation of the SMEs in the economy. I want to know how is this going to be measured? Is it going to be numerical, knowing how many SMEs are now participating, or how is this are we going to measure the success or no success of the vision of the department to get SMEs to participate in the economy? And secondly, one of the goals is to reduce red tape. Obviously, if you reduce something, we need to know from what to what, so that we can know whether it did happen. So the next day, we would not hear again the need to reduce red tape. What specifically are we talking about, and how is it going to be measured, and is there a target date? I did say the DG saying we do not want to bind ourselves to time frames, but I think sometimes it is important so that one can urgently attend to what needs to be looked into. And then the creating of a single point of entry for SIDA and SIPA. When is this going to happen again, so that at the end of the year we do not hear again about creating this single entry? It would be helpful to know how this is going to be done and by when. I one understands that obviously there are contracts that have to be considered, lease agreements and so on, but has the department looked into whether this can be done this year, or how long, when is this going to be happening? And then the composition, what is the composition of SIDA and SIFA? And are we getting value for money from SIDA and SIFA? And if there is no value that's coming forth or that can we be told about, is there any form of restructuring that will take place also in those two offices to ensure that we get value for money? Thank you.
Thank you, Robert Chair. Thanks for the input. My first question is, what is expected of us as a portfolio committee in, you know, from the department's point of view? What is expected of us? Then number two, in undertaking this exercise, to what degree have the small businesses and cooperatives been interacted with, or to what degree have they been consulted? I'm thinking here of the informal businesses, be it the people that sell fruits and vegetables at Barra Taxi Rank or Free Street Taxi Rank. I'm just giving these as examples. Or be it the business people, those that we saw at Chakuma Fruit and Vegetable Market, to what degree have such been interacted with? But there it means looking more at township levels as well as looking at the rural area levels, because they will have different dynamics. And then I notice on on page I notice on 39 or slide 39 that we have medium businesses, small businesses, micro startups, and then cooperatives. Should I understand that that shows the order of importance, or that shows the order of size? Because I see medium is bigger than small, and then from there, micro is smaller than small, and then the startups, and then only thereafter do I see cooperatives. Is that signifying the importance? And then my last question is, in undertaking the consultative exercises, has SANACO, which is a South African national apex cooperative, has it been interacted with, has it been consulted? I'm asking this question because it is one of the bodies that was formed to help the formation and sustenance of cooperatives, so that it is important that it is interacted with, you know, in my view, to see whether it can be assisted to assist cooperatives, or whether it is seen as irrelevant. This question is very important to me. And then the last question is whether the other spheres, in as far as they relate to small business department, have been consulted, the other two spheres, the municipalities, as well as the provinces. Thanks, Comrade.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Let me just appreciate the presentation of the program review from the DG. I think the department has just laid the foundation to start, and although there's areas of concern that you have just mentioned, but you promised us that we'll just start up now and to see the program going forward. But I'm just concerned when you said we don't have a budget for the communication. I think that one is giving us a bit of worry. How are you going to operate if you don't have that budget? But so far, so good. I think the presentation was okay. Thank you very much.
Honorable Kodo.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm looking at the absence of coordinating platforms. I'm just checking in terms of the present moment. Do we have that platform in the department in terms of coordinating the other departments? The second point is for me to be assisted on the high impact programs, which are they? On that informs the discontinue or transfer of some of the programs that we are we able to unpack the high impact programs that informs that these ones can be done away with, so that we can be in a position to understand that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
I will give the department and the minister for responding. Thank you, Chairperson. Obviously, I would have wanted to respond at the end, but unfortunately, I had to run because one of our items is going to be coming towards 12. I will just respond to a few, and I'm sure the department will be able to take over from there. But obviously, thank the members for giving us this opportunity. Starting with the question that was asked by Mr. Chance with regard to how the department intends taking, if I may say, the importance of small and medium enterprises almost into each and every department, and his view is that maybe it should be sitting at the level of the presidency. I think that the department is situated in the right position from a point of view that, one, the understanding of the importance of small and medium enterprises across the spectrum of government. I am very happy with that, but obviously it would never be within this short space of time be where one would want to see it. But if I look at what has happened since the formation of the department and the decisions that have been taken thereof at the highest level of our government, that is in the president's office himself and his commitment to addressing the issues of small and medium enterprises and insisting that each and every department of the government makes a presentation on what they are going to do and what is available within their departments for small and medium enterprises. I think that has been done because that can be seen, for instance, in the last quarter of government, where every department was requested to say clearly up there what have they got for small and medium enterprises. I think that's it's not a mean feat, because small and medium enterprises are not the department's core businesses, but it was insisted that each and every department must indicate, and that was done. The challenge that we have is that, having been done by all the departments, what is the capacity of our own department to engage with what has been presented by all those departments? Because if each department presents and says, even in terms of the budget, this is the amount of the overall budget, and they say for small and medium enterprises we see this particular percentage, it's important for us as a department to continue engaging them so that ultimately the delivery is to small and medium enterprises, not the good things that we write on paper. So I think for now, where the department is, it's just at the right place, and we're comfortable with it, because I don't foresee the department moving into the office of the president as the other two. That is monitoring and evaluation, which also brings me to this fact that the monitoring and evaluation itself made a presentation to the government Lekgotla on an evaluation that has been done that goes back into what is the potential for small and medium enterprises, where is that potential sitting, and this was a presentation that they made specifically in relation to small and medium enterprises. And that's one of the reasons why, from the very beginning, we decided, because by the way, this issue of monitoring and evaluation is not something that came from the consultants. It's something that we had started already. As we started office, we said, in order for us to be able to, the research, planning, monitoring and evaluation was our own contribution that we thought it would be a good thing to have. So when the review was done, they also identified that as one of the issues that needs to be done, because we believe that if the monitoring and evaluation, as by the way the president keeps on insisting, if our monitoring and evaluation is not strong enough, we would never be able to
we can be able to gauge the impact, but not as best if we have a monitoring and evaluation. And that's why we had the monitoring and evaluation and on our side. The other issue that I would like to deal with is the evaluation of CEDA and CIFA. Again, even that was identified when we started. Whenever the presentations were being done, personally I was looking at your CIFA, your CEDA, your CEO, you've got this, you've got boards, you've got that. And I was feeling like even for us to be able to do the work and be able, it's difficult. 1 minute you're this side, the next minute you're this side, and how the two interact. Worst of all is when you go down on the ground, you see that the officer of CEDA is on the other side and the officer of CIFA is on the other side, and yet the people that were supposed to be servicing are on the ground and they have to split themselves. So we identified this as one of the areas that we would have to do a lot of work. And they started doing something themselves of the review. But the problem is when you review yourself, it's a little bit difficult because you've got an interest and you've got all that. And I think that this is part of the work that we still need to do as a department, of course, working together with them. And I think they had an independent evaluator. Yes, they had an independent evaluator. But again, CIFA and CEDA needs to look at this. And by the way, they were part and parcel of the workshops that we had when we were now going through what was presented by the SNG. The other one that I would like to respond to is that I don't think it's necessarily a rehash of the report. I think, remember that when the report was presented, we then had 2 days of working with them, and we now didn't have them. We had an independent evaluator. It was no longer SNG that was assisting us with going through the report itself. So it was it was ourselves as a department, the ministry and the department, as well as an independent person. I don't think we rehearsed, but we felt that when we received the report first time around, we looked at it and we felt comfortable, but we kept on sending them back and forth to say we're not happy with this, we're not happy with that. So ultimately what they came out with was not necessarily them sitting in some corner. It was something that happened with the engagement. That, of course, the engagement might have not been with the Honorable Mabasa is talking about, going out to the communities and all. It wouldn't have worked immediately. I mean, it still remains our responsibility to make sure, because when we looked at the report, we felt like it was really representing what we were experiencing ourselves on the ground. And my view is that the consultation which we speak about there, that the communication that we still have to have with the communities or our clients, not necessarily general, our clients, which are the small and medium enterprises and cooperatives, is for that reason that I was saying, as we begin to implement, maybe some things might want to change, but personally I also would not want a situation where there's this ongoing, non-stop kind of consultation that doesn't give us an opportunity to implement. We have to implement. And if somewhere in the process of implementation we might want to change this or that, I'm sure it wouldn't be difficult to do so, provided we see the impact on whatever changes that we want to do. And my view is that let us put all our efforts in the implementation of what we have here, because that's the only way we can begin to say what we have here is going to ultimately yield the results that we want or not. Also, the question about communities and SANACO. SANACO, we engage with SANACO, and we've got some issues that are internal SANACO issues, which this is not the time for me to be able to deal with them. Those are issues that we are dealing with as a department. We've had meetings with SANACO to try and resolve some of the challenges that we have, and I think I will not go into details with that. But as to continuous engaging with SANACO, we cannot ignore SANACO. I think I would leave many of the questions to the Deputy Minister and the rest of the department while I really beg to be excused.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Before you leave, thank you for your responses. Before you leave, I would also want to make a few comments. One is on the rehash of the report that was presented by the consultant. I don't see this as a rehash, because if you read this report, if one was to take it, that report of the consultant and this one, there are a few differences which indicate that the department did go through the process. One observation is on page one. Where we talk about the program review, slide number six. The consultant would not have referred to the Freedom Charter and the Constitution and League that. It's the department that would have done that, because it is the department of the African National Congress. So it is not a rehash. The department went through this and then took what was presented to the department and tested the policies of the ruling party to look at whether what is recommended by the consultant takes into account that there is a ruling party in South Africa, which is the government, the ANC government, and that government has those policies that it wants to implement to transform the economy. So it is not a rehash. The second issue that I want to comment on, so I agree with the minister that is not a rehash. The second issue that I want to talk on is the whether this department will have the ability to play the role that this department is expected to play when it is not located in the president. In the close-up report of the 2010 Soccer World Cup, very fundamental statements were made. We have demonstrated our capacity as a country. We have successfully delivered 2010. And we have learned lessons on how a government can deliver within a short space of time when we move away from silo mentality and work with a focus on a particular project. That is what was said. And anyone can remember that. South Africa, firstly, for South Africa to even bid, the initiative was done by SAFA. The South African Football Association. That is the structure that initiated that. And it then went to the Department of Sports and Recreation. Fortunately, at that time, I was the chairperson. The Department of Sports and Recreation positioned itself in the same manner that the Department of Small Business is positioning itself today, to mobilize all the resources in South Africa and all the structures in South Africa by being able to articulate the benefits for the country to host the Soccer World Cup, and also by positioning itself as the coordinator of all entities that had a role to play. And South Africa was able to deliver within a period of 8 years something that has never been delivered in the African continent. So we have lessons. We have lessons that we can learn from. If the Department of Sports and Recreation was able to deliver that with the not without being located in presidencies, and with the same budget allocation that it has, but was able to mobilize other departments to provide all that was necessary and required for the country to deliver 2010. What would stop this department? Because this department is part of the entire government. So we already have an experiment to demonstrate that that can be done. Sport and Recreation was able to do it, and the Department of Small Business and Cooperative Development will be able to do it, because the project here is to facilitate the participation of people who were excluded from the economy to participate in the economy. That is the project that this department is charged to lead. And all other departments must then support that initiative and provide the resources that are required and play the role that is supposed to be played by each and every department and each and every structure in South Africa for South Africa to realize that objective of inclusive economy, integration of people who are excluded from the economy. And I think it is the correct approach. So when this department is positioned in that way, it will then be able to, because it will not be speaking as a department of small business, but it would have, through the transversal agreement, identified strategic departments to work with. And through the intergovernmental relations framework, I also formed relationships with other spheres of government. And then together we go to the treasury to plead for resources, because it will not be the Department of Small Business alone that will be pleading for resources. It will be the department, all the departments that will be needing the resources that have to be deployed in order to develop SMEs and cooperatives in this country. So the Department of Trade and Industry will not resist, because it is part of that process. It will have to relook at the trade agreements that are signed as to whether they are in favor of the of small businesses and cooperatives. The same applies to the Department of Economic Development, and all the ministers that are sitting there are in fact deployed by the African National Congress. We will be taking cues from the African National Congress in terms of the direction of the country. The last point that I want to make is that A, yes, we share the same sentiment, that's A. CEDA and CEFA will also have to undergo the same process that the department has undergone to ensure that A, the capacity of CEDA and CEFA is equal to the expectation and the role that they have to play in the implementation process of the new program. Now, in terms of the consultation process, Honorable Minister, I think that there are areas in which we have to slow down so that we don't find ourselves look ahead with people that are supposed to be supporting this transformation process. One area that has made me to want that process to say, although we have brought this here, let us implement those programs where there is no controversy. But on programs that we think that there would be controversy, let us go back and consult. Because we wouldn't want to have a situation like the one that we have seen on the taxation law, where after that has been signed into law by the president, then the consultant representing the workers stands up and saying, we were not consulted, this did not go through neglect, and workers did not speak for themselves, and then the government is forced to delay the implementation for 2 years. My view is that on those areas where there is a need for consultation and also there is a need for going into what the impact has been and what do those who are serviced by that particular program feel, we will need to take those 2 steps back than to find ourselves in a situation where we are at loggerheads with the people that we are supposed to be providing them with an efficient service. So that is my view. Other than that, I would actually thank the minister. I know it's cabinet day, but you made it possible for you to come here and be part of this presentation so that we can get the youth of the political deployees in the department, political deployees in the department. All other issues, some of them will still need to be processed in the study group of the ANC in terms of scientific or whatever. Let's go and discuss those there first and then bring them back if there's a need for us to bring them back here. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks to the Minister and the responses. I would like to talk to the question of raised by Honourable Mulaudu on the question of the state-owned entities and the reviews that were undertaken and what's going to be the situation then with CEDA and FIFA. Is it not the right time now to have one agency with one CEO and maybe with one board? The review report is still being processed at the level because it is the president that asked for that review, because given what the SOEs are operating like, I'm sure you know some are operating well, some are not, and he was trying to get a sense as to how do we deal with those and see which ones we can be able to change them in order to make sure that it can then talk to what then the manifesto of the Green Party is all about, what are the 9-point programs, how do we deal with the economy, how do we deal with growth and all that and the employment, because they are not yielding the same results, all of them. So that is still under processing. There's no final recommendations as to which ones are going to be done away with, which ones are going to be restructured. So it would really be premature to then say maybe CIFA and CIDA will do the same while you don't even have the final report of that first one with all the state-owned entities, which CIDA and CIFA falls under. But I'm sure you remember that CIFA is an amalgamation already of previous three of the entities. It was SAMAF, which was dealing with those people who are like not bankable enough that they can get loans, that are lower than what they can get at banks, at an interest that are not charged by the banks. Then it tends to amalgamate with Kula as well. As you know, Kula was one of the entities at the time that was trying to help, more in particular, it was not financial, but standing as a guarantor in terms of people who want loans at the bank. It was doing that particular job, including the small business of the IDC section that was part of that, then amalgamated into what now is CIFA. So taking from that and then the CEDA and the new mandate now in terms of the small business mandate, they have then, it has to go within that process, but with a clear look in terms of supporting the SME sector and the cooperatives, which is one of those that have been identified, that it can help us to create jobs. It can be able to make sure that we reach our 5-year program, 2014 to 2019, in a much more better way. Of course, we've used this because this should be the hackers that assist people, not to act like banks, But if you know, there are some of them who act exactly like banks, even much more, charging small businesses interest that, I mean, is really making them not to grow. But some of them have to close shop, some of them have to struggle and all that. So it's taking all those issues into consideration so that as we come up with a new SOEs that are looking as to the needs, first as always asked by the chair, so that is not going to be an answer for now. It's still the work in progress that I can give where I do know exactly where the issue is. So the others, I'm sure the DG and the team is quite clear. They are, I think, capable of dealing with the rest of the questions. Some of them were answered by the minister, and I try to now just explain the issue of the SOEs and where is the process now, as it was commissioned by the president, and we want them to deal with it. The last one, I think, will be the red tape issue. As far as I know, as indicated before, the red tape campaign or program was started before the department was established while still DTI, with a pilot of about 12, 13 municipalities and the DTI at the time, to try and see really to crack this question of the red tape. They came with the report, and now it has been extended to other municipalities, but with much more work now with the provincial departments to try and see how can we really deal with this. Because it has been coming back, and it comes, then we deal with it piecemeal. You go back, you come back again, it still gives problems. So the manner in which I think we want to look at as a small business is to try and really deal with the issues that are problematic to SMEs and cooperatives in terms of your regulatory framework, accessing some of even the incentives we have and grants and all that, making sure that it can be much more easy for SMEs and cooperatives to access what we offer to them and not create really lots of impediments indirectly. But some, I think, are part of the legislation. Like if you look at the PFMU, it gives you, and the MFMA, it gives you what are the requirements that you have to deal with. But to me, those can be impediments, because the PFMA gives you a broad guideline. It doesn't say you must not stop to give a service. If you have to digress from following it, then you have to get the executing authority to say this is what you want to assist this particular person, then we are unable to do this. The Auditor General can't say you have done wrong because we are explaining why. For instance, you need to have three quotations if you want somebody to do catering and all that. In some of the places, in a deep rural area, those people don't even have, a gadget to send you the first quotation, second and third and all that. It becomes a problem. Some have got to travel long distances to a municipality that doesn't function even very well. So the question of urban, rural, peri-urban and township, you need to come into the court to say, yes, PFMA sends us the guide, but in this particular area, your deep remote area like Bokungumaki, deep down there, that you don't get our offices so easily, or Sikukuni and all that, far away. And Boking, Shiosana, out of the main road, you travel in a road for kilometers and kilometers where you don't find anything. There's no Tucson Center, there's nothing. So some of those people, they need to also be part of what is going on. So some of those things is out of the practical experience rather than theory, that we have to apply and kind of assist and say, this is what we can do and all that. But to me, that's the work in progress, which we believe we'll be able to do rigorously now and try and come up with proposals that will really not stand on the way of the entrepreneurs and on the way of the cooperatives. So I think that is what I can give you the answers on the two. Easy and the team, I think they're capable enough, they are here. There's no free lunch for government. You can't come from Pretoria and be here and don't want to answer questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Chairperson, with your permission, I'll ask my colleagues to respond first, and I'll just take the closing ones. Let's start with Ruth Furless, that's fine. Are there some for you?
Before that, DG, Honorable Kruger seems to be wanting to make a follow-up on what on the response that was made by the deputy minister.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. About the state enterprises, I think it's going to take too long for that report if we wait for that report, because I think there's more than 750 state-owned enterprises in South Africa. So to wait for all that report, I think we must make it a serious effort for us to look at CEDA and CIFA, and we must prioritize that. Because if you must wait for the whole report, we're going to wait very long. That's the first observation. The second one about red tape, maybe I can announce it today in this committee meeting that I tabled what I call a red tape reduction bill last week in Parliament. So we will wait for the process. And I would like us to just go through the bill. My belief is that this bill, if we accept it and becomes an act in South Africa, will reduce red tape in the next 2 years by 25%. And if you look at the amount that red tape costs business, it can be in the vicinity of 1.7% of GDP. So it's tabled, and I would like us to have a look at it in some of our meetings. It took me a year and a half of research across the world, and we took the best practices in the world reducing red tape and tried to accommodate that into this red tape reduction private members bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks.
Okay.
I must say that I'm aware of the bill and the entire ANC study group is aware. I also wanted to speak on the issue of the assessment of CEDA and CIFA. Taking the input that has been made by the deputy minister, that exercise is good for us to put our eyes on, because it's something that was completed a while ago. It's not something that is still being done. It's completed, which in my view is why then the president would, in the State of the Nation of address today, would talk about the need to reduce. He would not have said that without having applied his mind on what the report that he himself commissioned was saying. But in bringing the two ideas together, Honorable Deputy Minister, the advance that is being made by the CA, which if I were to represent the views of the ANC study group here, is that the department has undertaken, we actually said the department must review the program specifically designed, inherited from trade and industry. And Honorable Chan is saying, but the support services of those programs, financially and non-financially, are provided by CIFA and CEDA. We then need to do an assessment of those programs, meaning that we take this report now and we put those programs on top of this report and see whether there is a match or mismatch. That is separate from what was done by the president. As much as the information that would come from that report would also be important for us to see how we respond to the outcome of this process that I'm talking about. And in the initial input made by the minister, she by the way, CEDA and CIFA have done that. They did their own assessment, but they also used an outside, an independent evaluator to say, tell us how you see us. And in the initial program, I had wanted to put them here. They were here because that report is there, which was done by that independent evaluator. But I then looked at a time that if the department was going to present, people were going to present, and people were going to present, we would not get enough time. And I decided that, hey, let us digest this report today because we are having a strategic planning workshop of the portfolio committee. In that question, we will then allow the presentation of CEDA and CIFA to be made so that when we do the threat plan now, we are also informed by the threat plan that will be presented by the department as well as this report, but including what would have come from CEDA and CIFA. So, Honorable Kuga, you are right. We will not wait for that one. We will refer to it as we move forward. But we are going to use the process that we have initiated on our own. And I want to thank the department and CIFA and CEDA that although in our initial recommendation, we had not said that a go and also assess the relevance of CEDA and CIFA's products and programs to what to the new mandate and what they would be recommended. You did that on our own because you have now realized that it is important. You have adapted to the situation that the portfolio committee has been chasing CIFA and CEDA away if they were coming here having not been part of the planning process of the department. And the department was not aware of what we were going to present because they had sat on their legal corner. And we thank you because you have changed, because sometimes we don't talk about the improvements that we see. We would only talk about what has not improved. In this particular, this lays the foundation. If you start in working in that direction, you will not have problems moving forward.
I think we're talking the same language. What I was trying to paint a picture is that the president is trying also to get a point that we should not repeat the mistakes that we have done from 94 up to now, 22 years of democracy, and we inherited, I mean, these SOEs that really everybody, I'm sure, should know by now, they were conceived, established during the apartheid era, not during the democratic process, with a certain mandate. And now, aligning it to the new government from 94 up to now, that's why there was a need then to look at them, to say, we really need to look at it. I think it is all the public domain terms of the debate now, but not fully by everybody. I think there are commentators who are very strong to say,
privatize some of these, because if you run them as a private sector, it can be a good thing. But of course, you don't just wake up and privatize. You have to go through a process if you want to. But there are recommendations that are coming with that particular study that are saying there's option one, there's option two, there's option three, there's option two, up to, I think, option five or six, that you have to look at and then see which can work better. But of course, I'm sure there can be exceptions in terms of like the new department with the configuration of some of the agencies that are then under it, then I think it can be some exception given what then the department mandate is all about, and not an old department, a host of entities. Because in other departments, you talk of more than 20 entities or 30 entities in one department. And surely some of those can be easily line functions. But it is an entity that is out there doing its own thing, budgeted money and all those things that can be used to say, why don't you bring some back to the department? Why don't you take some outside? Same with CEDA. CEDA is an amalgamation of Bonamac, Bon, Tika and others. But looking at, I mean, this depletion and the duplication of resources, it has to come then, amalgamate those and be one and be CEDA. So surely as we move along, you try to look at the situation and say, adapt or do this and all that. But it is a good exercise.
Thank you. Mr. Lefa?
Thank you, Gigi. Thank
sorry,
you.
Sorry, just don't repeat or go to any of the questions answered by
No, I'm not going to repeat. Thank you, Gigi. I'm not going to repeat. I think the Minister and Deputy Minister have covered quite the ground in terms of responding to some of the questions. But I picked up three questions that, and I'm hoping that I'm not repeating what they have actually said. But in terms of the pushback, as was raised by Honorable Chance, that we actually re-looked at the report and taken everything on board. We have actually established a steering committee within the department. And the steering committee really synthesized the report and did its own analysis. And then we have taken back quite a number of programs back, with a view of restructuring them instead of completely abolishing or discontinuation. So there are quite a number of programs that we have taken on board on the basis, of course, of our knowledge and interaction on the ground with the businesses themselves and also small business practitioners. So there was a bit of a compromise in certain areas where we thought we actually could take some of the things on board. And then coming to, there was another question.
Can you be specific?
I will mention two programs.
Can I paraphrase? The question was, are there any of the recommendations that the department, that were made by the consultant, that the department does not agree with? That's it. So that we can, you said there was a view that there was a view in the beginning that this presentation is a rehash of what was said by the consultant. And I have put forward to the position of the ANC that from where we sit, we don't see it as a rehash. Now, the question that is being asked, it was asked then by Honorable Chan when he was putting his first question. Are there any recommendations that were made by the consultants that you did not agree with? Just zoom into that.
Sure, yes. There were recommendations that we didn't agree with. I would mention just two. One on the, for instance, craft CSP, we actually agreed that the arts and craft of components of that form very much strong part of the small business, and we definitely have to take on board. And the second is technology for women in business. We said we need to restructure instead of completely abolish. I'm just mentioning two, but there may have been several of those that I think colleagues, if they still remember, can actually touch future. But I'm just mentioning two of those. But yes, there were recommendations that we decided not to completely
I said out of the craft CSP, the craft and the craft sector, we actually decided as a component to take it on board. And then I was also talking about technology, TWIP, technology for women in business. We decided to do the restructure of that program as it appears on page 23. If you look at page 23, it's actually on restructure the program as a recommended part.
But in the beginning, it was not recommended
as a restructure. Mm-hmm. It was discontinuation.
Oh, discontinuation.
Yes.
Okay. And what was the recommendation on the craft sector?
The craft sector was a transfer. The entire craft, what we call craft sector program, mm-hmm. is a transfer. But we said quite a huge component of that, which is the craft. The craft is mm-hmm. actually part of small business, and we cannot really transfer with the entire sector program.
The transfer was where?
The recommendation, Chair, or did you? The recommendation, remember this program comes from the DTR. Okay. As you articulated, most of these programs come from the DTR. The question was, we have to keep it as a sector. And we decided that in terms of the review outcomes, that this needs to be transferred back to the DTR. But however, we said it will be a very unjustified to also take the craft component to it and transfer as well as part of the CSP, because it's there, it's quite a chunk of that work is part of small business.
So the officials in the department felt that it needed to be restructured instead of being transferred.
Chair, I think I must make an intervention. I think that that is a bad example to pick. If you look at page 54 of the presentation, it's completely different to what you are saying right now. And the fact is, the report which was presented to the committee by the consultant was already their final report. It was their final report. They had presented a draft report to us earlier, and we interacted with the draft report. So if there are the areas of overlap would have been stronger, because I agree with you, we've made changes even to the final report. But what was the final report? We influenced that, I think. And so therefore, it's difficult to say. There won't be so much difference between what was presented to the committee then and what we are saying, but there are differences. But I want to, he is correct in saying that there was a steering committee that interacted with the content.
You are confusing us. Yeah. You are confusing us. The question is very clear and straightforward. Are there recommendations that were made by the consultants that when those recommendations were presented to the steering committee of the officials in the department, the officials did agree with the opinion of the consultants? And what I'm hearing from Mujalifa is that yes, there were recommendations that were made by the consultant. And one of those recommendations, in terms of example, is the craft, which they were recommending that it should go back to DTR. And the steering committee of the officials felt strongly that program is a program of small businesses. It is those women that are making craft along the sea, those that are making clay pot. It is the women that we went to in Limpopo, and we bought all those things.
that I'm wearing now,
yes,
but by the same way.
They are operating in a small room. And that is what we want to hear, because we also want to not rubbish everything that was happening in DTR, because DTI was providing a service, let alone the shortcomings. And the idea of taking the officials that are responsible for those programs and plug them here in this department to build the foundation is to appreciate the experience that they have gained over the years in terms of the client base that they are dealing with. Therefore, the views of the consultants who do not necessarily interact with those people on a daily basis would be sometimes different from the views of the officials that have been dealing with that client base. That is what we want to hear here. And I hear the DG now wanting to create a confusion as if what is being said by Mujalifa is not supposed to be said here, because Mujalifa is saying what are the recommendations that did not make sense to the officials who have an experience of the client base. And the report is saying, the question that came from Honorable Mabasa was there any interaction with the client base consultation? And the response from the minister was, no, there was no interaction with the client base in terms of reviewing the very same problems that we are talking about. Had there been that interaction, then the views of the consultants would also have been informed by their interaction with the client base. To understand, when we talk of trust, who are these people that we are talking about? And where do they reside? And what impact has been made by the problem? And what changes need to take place? So, that is the point that I want to make here, so that we don't confuse issues. Continue, darling.
Chair, let me look at the other, maybe two questions that were posed. The question on page 9 that was asked by Honorable Mabasa about the importance in terms of the categorization of those segments. It is not about importance, I think it's about segmentation in terms of what are the appropriate interventions that we can put for each segment, looking at the value chain that was actually presented in this meeting. So it's not about it's part of segment, but it's not about importance, it's about segmenting the market to say this is the particular category and this is how best we can intervene, because we understand that particular category on its own.
Sorry, to butt in here, but I just wanted to pick up on that response and Honourable Mabasa's question, because I think he picks up the extremely important point that Honourable Mabasa was mentioning, which is that if we look at that slide, the slide does not distinguish between medium, small, micro, startup, co-ops. All it does is it just lumps co-ops into one. That was the point that he was making. In other words, one needs to look at the growth cycle, the life cycle of co-ops, just as one needs to look at the life cycle of a business, a private sector business, a profit-making business. I think that's an extremely valid point, and I think that it's something that the department needs to consider in its review of the recommendations, that there needs to be a value chain, a approach to co-ops as well as the small private sector.
Okay. Also to add on the observation that is being made by both Honorable Mabasa and Honorable Chan is that when you look at the right hand side, direct SMME and cooperative support, financial and technical. But I want to make an input here by going back to the question asked by Honorable Mulaudi. Honorable Mulaudi is saying when the department came to present itself to us, we said we would like the name of the department to change to reflect the mandate given to the department. The department is not mandated to develop small businesses only. It is mandated to develop small businesses and cooperatives. And our understanding is that small businesses and cooperatives are different animals, although they operate in the economic space. The role that is played by cooperatives in the economy is that of community economic development and addressing social issues. That is why cooperatives are called the social capital, because their main objective is not to make the profit, but it is to ensure that in a community that is riddled by social ills, they provide economic activism with an objective of addressing the social ills. That is not what an SMME does. An SMME is a monopoly capital driven by profit. We see the 300 schools having to be supplied by one supplier of school nutrition program. That is not the value and the principle in the cooperative. Cooperatives would, from their profit, plow back to the community and develop structures in the community that would deal with social ills. That is not the value and the principle in the SMME. That is why we wanted that distinction, because we then wanted to have a department that we have. DGG Cooperatives and DGG SMME, and then package the support services for cooperatives that speaks to the needs of the cooperatives and the stages of development of cooperatives, and then package services that relate to small businesses. Small businesses, when they develop, they can go and access loans from commercial banks. Cooperatives, because of their nature, you organize them to develop their own cooperative bank, which would have better lending policies for communities that cannot even produce an address, because it is a financial institute that is owned by the community to address both social and economic needs of the community. That is the difference. So, by always then not coming clear as to why the name cooperative doesn't appear in the name of the department, it only comes as a mandate. And then when you then restructure and put in on system, you then look at how small businesses develop. You don't look at how cooperatives develop. It is a same cooperative. come as mature structures. Yes, cooperatives were developed well. They also control the economy in a better way than the private sector. In a way that develops the community, not in a way that produces a few billionaires in a community. That is the different role that is played by cooperatives. And therefore, the department has to package cooperatives in a particular way. We would have loved to see a slide different from this one that talks about an association before a cooperative, before a primary cooperative, an association in the community. The next stage of that is the primary co-op. The next stage of that is the secondary co-op. The next stage of that is the tertiary co-op. We don't see that here. We only see the startup, a micro business, a small business, and a medium business. As if that stage of development doesn't happen on the social capital front of the economy. Now you can respond.
On the answer that I was given, I think Minister Sanchez spoke to the other part. The initial proposal from the consultant, as I understand it, it was to discontinue. The example given in page 54 is correct. Because to me, it was given as a discontinuation. Mm-hmm. But after engagement and all that with officials, and including myself, they then agreed then to say it can go to CEDA. Mm-hmm. So it is true that page 54 is correct then. It is stating what are the changes after engaging. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Chair, but then on page 59, Kraft CSP, the recommendation is transferred, which is contradictory to what was said just now.
Yeah. No, 54 talks about the technology for women.
Talking about page 59.
54 says the
recommendation.
Talking
about 59.
And then, yes, 59.
Transfer, whereas Roger Lepper said it's going to be retained. How is that possible?
What the DDG was explaining was that the initial proposal from the consultants was to take it back to the Department of Trade and Industry, all of it. But then, after looking at the craft, as he explained, that these are small business people, then if you take it back to DTI, it doesn't make sense. Then it will be within the department.
Can I clarify? We are looking at a report that is presented to us. Okay. On page 59. There is description and background. Item number 9. Craft. CSP. Finding. Key discussion notebook. And then the recommendation. This is now the recommendation of the department. It is no longer a recommendation of the consultant. It still reflects that this trust must be transferred. And Jennifer is saying, in the discussion of the steering committee says it cannot be transferred. This report that is coming to us is saying it is still maintaining what was said by the consultant.
Can I make an apology and then withdraw on the, because I think it may have slipped my mind. We did discuss this, but I think the decision later on was taken that it transferred. So I think this was not a good example, the craft. The CRIP isn't a good example. There's also another example which is...
But then, refer to page 23 again. What is said in page 23 about this problem?
Page 23 talks about discontinuation or transfer. and the actual position that is taken in the council.
Chair.
But here, it is under I'm not talking about the structure. I'm not talking about
future,
I'm talking about the craft. Chair. I think that this is a serious problem. I mean, what we're hearing now is that Mr. Longarella is saying that the Crafts PSP should have been retained in this province because it's an integral to small business. And now we're saying that it's not going to be. So who's right here? I mean, it fundamentally points to some disagreements within the department as to what should be retained and what should not be retained. And I submit that if it were to be argued that it's retained, it would be a totally anomalous situation within the rest of the department if it's going to be non-sector based, but value chain based. So what makes the craft industry so special compared to any other industry which has hundreds of thousands of small businesses? You know, it just points to question marks over, you know, again, continuity and agreements within the department that I think we need to be very concerned about.
We want the department to thoroughly discuss and resolve issues in the department and not come here and expect us to resolve their issues. Resolve your issues in the department and come to us with a position of the department. And if there is disagreement, go back and thoroughly work on that particular issue. There is nothing that says what was recommended had all of it to be implemented at once. We could have implemented in phases. And where there are still disagreements, work on that. Consult. Go to the people that are receiving those services. Because you are not responding to the perceived need. You should be responding to the felt need. Take into consideration your client's sector. And also that consultation process also prepares them for change that is going to take place. Because if it is done in a workshop form, you also get a buy-in from them to understand that there are limited resources and certain things have to be done in a particular way within the limited resources that the state has. But it can't be correct that you would come here. In the beginning of this meeting, I picked up a discussion between the minister and the deputy minister because the deputy minister is saying this is not scientific enough. Which, if we had to entertain that, we would have then had to debate whether to accept this report or not. And that approach cannot be correct. The department must learn to resolve issues of differences within the department and not bring them to the portfolio committee. So let us go back to the question.
Okay, I'll go to the question. The point taken, sir, and there's no differences at all. It's just I think I picked the wrong example, and I apologize for that. Chair, I maybe the last question on my part.
The example that you keep to me still gives me a question mark. It gives me a question mark. Remember that said, this document we processed as study group. And the study group of the ANC met and consulted this document. And there was a disjunction that we pick up in relation to this particular problem. So it is clear, in my view, that there are different positions within the department as to what has to be done with this particular program. Let us continue. Oh, sorry, before that, Honorable Mark.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've been very brief. I'm sorry to hear you come late. I started somewhere in another committee. But I've just picked up, Chairperson, as you are discussing, all of us, from the side of the department and from our own understanding of the side. I do not know whether I'd be out of order if I say we take this document back to the department. As far as I'm following, it's like we're not yet ready to present it with a uniform position, as we've just said now. So I don't think we'll be doing justice if we need to go on discussing, because we will need to have a position as well as a committee informed by their own position. If it is not a uniform kind of a position on their side, I'm afraid that we continue to discuss this. Yes.
Okay, before that issue, I don't think that we can afford to say this document must go back to the department. There is a lot of good work that is in this document. What we may then say is that where there are still areas of agreement, let the department engage on this. But we can't say this document has to go back. We will be delaying the actual work of this department in terms of its new money for 3 years. We can't afford that. What needs to happen is that where there are agreements, we continue to allow them to implement. Where there are still agreements or questions, we then allow them to further consult and workshop themselves and come back to us. They may even be able to do that before Friday. Our workshop. Or if they are unable to resolve those issues before Friday, they come back to us and say, we have resolved on these issues. One of the issues to me that will need to be resolved by the department is Bawen. Because as early as yesterday, I received a letter from one of the provinces wanting to come and present to the portfolio committee how Bawen has been functioning and how they think what should be done by Bawen. We don't only receive information from the department, we receive information also from other people. And I responded and said we will afford you that opportunity to come and tell us the story because we want to hear the story. Teacher.
Chairperson, let me apologize for the confusion. I want to say that there is no confusion or difference of opinion in the department. The two slides on slide 23 and 24, it says on top there, these are the recommendations as recommended by SNG. And the slides at the back reflect our discussion, and there are subtle differences, and I apologize for my colleague choosing to use those examples and to give the impression that we have got disagreements. But I think what has been said earlier and what should prevail is that some of the recommendations are obvious ones, are necessary ones, are relatively easy to implement. And as you've said yourself, Chairperson, there are some of these recommendations, it might make sense to us, it must make economical sense, it must make strategic sense, but we have to consult on some of them. So I think that is how I prefer to go for. And I will take responsibility for what is being presented. I think what it also says to me is that a few of us were working the last 2 days on, because we are a very small team and we've got to split ourselves between various things. And my colleague who intervened wasn't part of the team who was preparing, and I probably should have limited the responses to people who were part of that. But I was there is no confusion for us if we may proceed with it.
But the way you were coming across to us, you were causing confusion to us. So if there's no confusion in the department then should not be confusing us.
Yeah, so I'm apologizing for that.
I just want to get absolutely clear on this point. Is the CRAFT program being transferred to DTI or not? Is it being transferred or not?
It is a proposal.
I understand, but there's a difference between what was proposed by SNG and what has been accepted by the department, which is why I asked the question, does the department disagree with any of the recommendations? The question I'm asking is, has the department accepted the recommendation by SNG to transfer the CRAFT program back to the DTI?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
I think, to me, the way Mr. Chan especially and the chairperson summarized was in a better position. They go back, the department deals the issues. To me, it doesn't work to try and pretend as if there are no disagreements. There are disagreements on the approach of SNG. And really, I mean, that's not fair then to come here and pretend as if there are no disagreements. CRAFT as I think to me it was a good thing that the DDG raised the issue of CRAFT. And as you said, who are CRAFTers? Yes. DTI is dealing with big business now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a fundamental problem here.
No, wait. I've never pressed any mic when Honorable Chan was speaking. And if you want to say something, put down and then raise your hand. I don't do that. And I'll never do that. That's not how I was, I mean, trained by my parents. You respect a person when he's on the platform. So, Chair, I'm saying, the problem is there's disagreements, because in terms of the final recommendations done, it was
partially... I would prefer that this input is listened to, CDG, because we all would appreciate that when we speak, we are listened to. But what is happening now, the DM is speaking, and the DG and the DDG are talking. But you are looking that side. And you are looking at that document. That's what I'm saying. All that we want here is that we all be in one meeting.
Chairperson, as I just said that, I think to me this was a good example today in terms of the DG that responded to that particular question. The recommendations have been signed off as a submission by the minister. I've not. I've stated my own views. That signing these will be tantamount to giving away the previously disadvantaged opportunities that we're not doing as a department. So you cannot come here and then say we've got an agreement. It is pending the discussion we must have with the minister and the DG as president to try and finalize this. Because partly I do agree with that. I mean, DTI doesn't deal with the small business people now. It deals with medium and big size. Not even medium. Big business now. The role is now with the small business that we have to deal with. And if we agree to disagree, we must say that. Don't come and say, this is what we agreed upon, all of us. Let's go back to the department and be able to discuss further and come back to the portfolio committee. Because it seems there'll be a problem then on almost every item here. And that's not the idea. To me, we can have still that chance to go back and try and look at the issues and can then respond. But as you said, there are issues that doesn't need any problem and all that, but there are issues that are problematic. Witchcraft is one of them. Because craft will never be big business. They are small business, but then we have to look at, in terms of the money given to us, and what we have to do, we need to be then making sure that we service those people. But anywhere in the world, even your developed country, craft are not big business people. You start small somewhere, you then grow within that value chain. But it's not a small, a big business function. And it's for that reason that I say that my own views is there on the submission. I never hide them. I never hid them because I believe that it is a true reflection of a democratic process. So maybe they've got the answers on some of them that they want to do now as DG and the team, but the issue has not been finalized thoroughly by the top three, by the top two, which is the minister and myself on issues. But cats are one of those issues that I'm contesting very strong, because I believe these are women that, with men and women, who need us more in terms of the department to try and assist them rather than to the DCI.
Based on the last presentation by the DM, I think we can pursue Honorable Nare's idea of sending back the document. They're going to attain it and come with one voice. It's only, we can give them a few days. Next week we're going to see if they can come with the document again. We can squeeze it in so that we can finalize it. Because we can't allow the craft to go to the DTI.
I'm saying, I appreciate what you are saying. I'm saying I have already ruled on that. One, we can't defer the implementation of a reviewed program by the department, because it would mean that we can't have a budget 2016-2017 budget, and we can't even ourselves have a strike plan that we are planning to have this coming weekend, which the biggest part of it is informed by this document. But I have appreciated that there are agreements, not in the whole document, in certain areas. And my ruling was, let the department go back and engage on the areas of this agreement. And in doing so also, they must consult the affected structures. That would then mean that on those issues where there are disagreements, there will be a hold, there will be deferred. And on those areas where there are agreements, implementation will kick in. That is what I'm saying. That is what I have said. In response to the proposal that Honorable Mugabe has said, which you are also seconding, because Lena, I want people to read everything in the document. Here on the key findings, it says the challenge on craft. The challenge is that it is part of the only sector-specific intervention to be migrated from the DTI. A further challenge is how to coordinate the sector and how to coordinate government activities in this sector. Now, we don't understand that they have to discuss it and unpack it. But coordination in this sector, to me, would mean that the Department of Small Business can work with the Department of Arts and Culture. Department of Small Business can work with the big shops and have craft events. I used to hold craft events at Noel Fine Farm when I was working for Belfast Freight Solutions Center. And we have craft exhibition centers up to a level where I was sent to Germany by Belfast Freight Solutions Center to go and fundraise for the establishment of the rural craft shop that you see in Rosebank. And use that now as a conduit to sell to the public things that are coming from areas where buyers would not have been there. Number three, to also use the rural craft shop, that, the one that is in Rosebank, to actually export the person who was sent to Germany to go and fundraise for the establishment of that Rosebank rural craft shop is here sitting in front of you, Rosebank. And the starting point was we sell on the verandas of big shops on weekends. We sold in embassies that are supporting the anti-apartheid struggle. We would be invited by them. So maybe there is a lack of understanding that still needs to be workshopped here. This is the biggest buyer of the car. International. It's an ad workshop international organization. Maybe people who were supposed also to be roped in here. But people who worked in the NGO during the apartheid era, because NGOs during that time played a role that was not played by the apartheid government, and they are better experienced in how people in the rural areas were helped. People who worked on the Geta Head, people like myself, people like Comrade Sobo Dikeza. We can't just say this issue, which is a bonus collection, we are just going to pass it like that and get it flat. We are saying where there are areas of this agreement, let us go back to the drawing board. Where we agree, implement.
On this last issue or the questions that I've been
there?
Sure, I think you've made the point on what needs to be done. I'm not going to repeat it at the risk of misstating what you have, but I understand what you have said about that we cannot discern what we've got to do around consensus building and what needs to come back. I'm not going to attempt to I'd like to go through the questions, so I have understood the instructions.
You know why I wanted to respond on the comments that I have made? Our discussions get recorded. And I want to ascertain that we are on the same page in terms of what we are saying as a portfolio committee, that yes, implement on areas of agreement and defer on areas of disagreement. That's what I want you to respond to, so that we don't come out of here having a misunderstanding of what was the conclusion on this matter.
Chair, I've written here, we cannot defer the implementation of the program review. If we do not approve or the approval of the program review, if we do not approve, the department will not be able to conclude the strategic plan, and nor will the PC, because the PC's plan, we were all dependent on the program review. The department will go back and discuss among themselves the rich consensus around the points of disagreement or contention, and will consult
with affected parties. If consensus cannot be reached, implementation of those areas will be deferred.
That's what I wanted to hear, because I don't see what he was saying. I only had the first part of what the department was responding to. I wanted to hear everything so that we don't miss each other on what we are agreeing on here. Can continue and respond to other questions.
Chair, I will manage the question. And I'll turn to my colleagues where I have the need. I think the minister and the deputy minister respond to the question on red tape. The minister's also responded to the question on the broad facilitation role and whether that should will not get the locators in the presidency. The review of FIFA and FIFA.
Can that go for the ones that have not been
okay. The implementation plan and how long it will take to build the new structure, I cannot answer that right now, Chair. It's only in February when there was a change to our budget structure for the coming financial year, and we were given additional money. We will only be able to fill the structure when we have got funding available. As we sit here now, a significant number of our posts remain unfunded. One example that comes to mind is our structure allows for 3 deputy director general posts, and we own only 2 of those are funded. So all that we can do is to continue to make our presentations and our budget bids to Treasury. It's also incumbent on us that the budgets which we have been allocated, that we spend that and we spend that well, and we can show value for money, because that is one way of persuading Treasury about favoring us. There was a question on how much the consultant charged us. My colleague gave me a figure here of 472,784,000 rand. The question on how many transversal agreements were signed, the department had signed transversal agreements, I don't have that answer here now, Chair. I think we probably talked about that last week when we presented it last week. Our third quarter report, I'd like to be allowed to respond to that, and there were a few others that talked about performance issues, which I think we can address that in the next report when we give our fourth quarter report. The direct, there's a question about direct support for SMMEs. How will we do that? What is the strategy for it? I think I've indicated that we have got the work streams that are working very hard at implementing all of the recommendations. We have put in the presentation what the emerging service delivery model is. That we want to move towards mainstreaming, we don't want to have a sector-based approach or whatever, and it also depends on the budget that is available and the extent to which any functions that we are proposing should be transferred. We cannot be irresponsible about this. This department, myself in particular, I remain accountable for that, for those monies, and I cannot be irresponsible in transferring it to any entity if I have not established their readiness to be able to execute what is required. The questions on the how will the vision be measured, the reduction in red tape be measured, I'm unable to answer that detail, Chair. I think we're saying we are presenting an approach. We are presenting a model. We've not come to the detail, but some of the detail that is being asked here, some of that we have in unpacked already will be reflected in our strategic plans. Again, I respectfully request that we establish the extent to which those will be answered in the strategic plan, and we stand at say advice. The consultation has been dealt with in Morocco, other spheres of government. I think we have not necessarily consulted with other spheres of government on this program review, Honourable Mabata, but we have a MINMEC structure with them, and the MINMEC structure has got a technical team on it, a technical team on small business. And so, there was one consultation in December, and at that consultation, for example, we presented to them the first draft of our APP, and in there was a figure of something, which I think it had 22 primary or secondary cooperatives will be supported, and it was in fact the provincial counterpart that called us to order and said, what is 20 or 16 or 35 cooperatives? That is not where national department should be talking about. You should be talking about coordinating, because they could say to us, we have in our plan supporting 200 cooperatives. How can a national department put in their APP and as a department who should be leading say we're only going to do 20 of them? So I think there was an engagement where we took guidance from them. But I think that a minister has answered that in saying we are crafting how we see our role, and we will take that forward to be consulting further with provinces and with communities. The issue for communications, the budget, I indicated that this year, as we sit here now, 2015-16, which has got X number of weeks left, we don't have a budget. And that is just in terms of the only budget that we had was the budget for those functions that were still brought over from the DTI. The budget from the DTI did not include the communications budget. However, we had set aside money in the 16-17 budget for communications, which includes ramping up the one person in that department to a unit of 7 people. The absence of a coordinating platform, yes, that's part of the situational analysis. There isn't a coordinating platform right now. Part of our argument that we're putting forward is that is the role that this department should play. That is the role that this department should play in the same way as the Department of Women plays that function. To be that, to have that coordinating function, we believe that that is part of what we should do.
This department has got a bigger role than that department. I would have been happy if you were making a reference to the coordination role that was played by the Department of Education when we were hosting 2010. Because that department was able to leverage funding and support from all other departments. The Department of Women is only providing a monitoring role to see whether other departments are supporting women. if that this department is going to be doing that, then we are talking about a different animal.
Chair, I will withdraw my statement and just say that there is no coordinating platform. So, and that is just the state of the our operating environment and where we operate, and that is part of the function that we must make happen. I think those, in my view, Chair, were the programs that were not answered.
I'm surprised that people are saying you can't say how the impact will be measured. That's your own document that you are presenting here. Can you switch off the light?
I'm sorry.
It has got that on slide number 33. The economic contribution.
Yeah.
Is the impact. Economic contribution of formal and informal to the GDP is the impact on economic. The social contribution of both informal and informal is the contribution to employment and sustainable livelihood. People that are no longer depending on social grants is how we will measure the impact. Meaning the exit of people from the social grant register is how we will measure it. It is in this document. And I even added my own information on that to say it is the reduction of households on the indigent register, because you would have that information at a municipality level. It can also be the reduction of the number of children who are on social grant, on child support grant, because as you empower their parents and enable them to take care of their own children, there will be no more a need for the Department of Social Development to provide social grants to those people. That is the social impact. So I'm surprised when you are saying you have not arrived at that, but your own document is talking about that. Then I also want to talk about on the issue of the risks, the single point of entry. I think I made this comment also last week when we were discussing the second term and the third term performance, to say this department must not only look inwardly in terms of co-location. Don't only look at CISA and CISA. Look at the more strategic sphere to interact with. And the more strategic sphere to interact with is the local government sphere. See, now when we visit, when we do our oversight, even if we don't meet with the province, we go to the district municipalities and we go to the local municipalities, because that's where these programs are. The national department doesn't own land. Provincial department doesn't own land. The sphere that owns land is the local government. And where you find people, physical touch with them, you will not find them in a province. You will find them at local government level, in a ward, in a village. And we said, don't look at the core location in relation to CIFA and CIDA working together. Look at the core location in relation to making the services easily accessible to the people. And I often ask a question, if a person wants to know information of how I get assisted, the first call of that person is the counselor, and the counselor will say, come to me, come with me, I will take you to the municipality. And the counselor, if it has to do with business, SMME or cooperative registration of a business, the counselor will take that person to the LED Department of the Municipality. That is the entry point for people. Unless it's SIPA and SIPA and the department are only looking at themselves. They are not looking at community. Also last week, I said, take this advice. If you think it makes sense, that in terms of the planning processes of the South African government, a district municipality is charged with the responsibility of integrated planning. And the district planning forum will not plan through the nose that the Department of Small Business is supporting 12 cooperatives in Ugu. And for those cooperatives, there is a need for a road infrastructure, basic infrastructure, there is a need for telecommunication infrastructure, there is a need for energy infrastructure, there is a need for water and sanitation infrastructure. The district will only know if the department makes an effort of establishing the relationship with the district municipality. Now, this is, you talk of 55 offices of SIDA as a platform for making the services accessible. But we have 8 networks in South Africa. We have 44 district municipalities, they all have offices. And we have 226 local municipalities, government infrastructure. It has no question of a landlord that is going to say, you can't change this sign now, or you, so many people now have to come in, and when you sign the lease agreement, you said 20 people, the municipality wants these services. So, look at the infrastructure of government, because there you will have shared responsibility. So, that is the point that I wanted to make, to say. Your review should not only look inwardly. Your review should look at who are we working with, and who do we want to partner with in order to access the constituents, and the constituency is on the pavement of a small town and a big city. The constituency is in the rural area, big rural areas, where you cannot reach out to those people if you are not building a relationship with a municipality. Use the existing resources. So that is what I wanted to say. But then, if you don't want to take that advice and utilize government infrastructure that is there, your customer office in your location, say, family, you say, one theater, where I also got lost 3 times. Drink a bone, put him again, and I like to give my office in our seat. Are there any other comments? Honor of my boss.
Is it towards closure? Because the comment I would want to make, I know that we have different views, the minister also expressed a view. I would like
discuss it respectfully under the bar. So this is a summary of the programs that were reviewed on page 23, the existing program. So NACO is not an existing program, and I can't include it.
So NACO was an existing program, and then when the programs came over to small business, it has, there are issues, I learned so, and then it is not. So what I wouldn't want, I mean, I'm expressing myself, what I wouldn't want is that it is not thoroughly explored. It is not, I would want it to be given a good chance in the same way as the others are being explored. I would like it to be there so that you interview them, you go through the process with them.
I just want to give an advice here, in addition to what Honorable Mabasa is saying. He said there are NGOs that exist in South Africa that were established by the South African government. One of them is Fantas. The other one is Kawen. The other one is Fanaf. But now, in terms of the end, is the intent.
Yeah.
So we can't say Sanako doesn't exist. The fact that Sanako has got problems does not necessarily mean that Sanako is not there, and we can just ignore that there is an act that gave birth to that structure. The same applies to Sawen. Sawen was established as an NGO to play a particular role. We cannot ignore, and if we were to do anything with those structures, we need to consult and go back to those structures that gave birth to the existence of those. Because if we fail to do that, for us sitting here, it will be difficult to explain how that happened. It may be easy for Rama officials to say, it's saving money, there is no interest in it, but the consultation is very, very important. And also, not to ignore that this structure came into being, but not consist in neglect. And when Sanako sits in neglect, it is sitting there to influence policies that are governing cooperatives in South Africa. And if there are problems in Sanako, it does not mean that Sanako was not supposed to be looked at to tell us what is it that needs to be done with Sanako.
Chair, I was just going to add on the question of the Sanako its existence and why, because as far as I understand, it was funded by us and then it stopped due to the problems that they were having, pending what would be the outcome of that. So in that regard, it doesn't then say if we are agreeing that the cooperatives are one of the models that we have, I mean, to strengthen and try and make sure that it can be a good tool then to use for empowering our own people and let them run cooperatives that are sustainable. Sanako can't be ignored then, even if there are problems that they have to be discussed, because it is one of those vehicles that are formed due to a need in terms of the apex structure of the cooperatives at the time, and it is still applicable even now. So here, I mean, that is giving that particular organization a way of trying to, if there are problems in any organizations, you deal with the problems and see to how far you deal with them, not just to throw away an entity that can be able to assist going forward. So I'm quite, I was going to add that particular part in terms of how we looked at cooperatives, and we needed to have even outside government a voice that will be there to make sure that cooperatives are coordinated, are assisted, whatever, because we then came to amendments as we have them as now, in terms of your tribunal, in terms of your academy, in terms of an agency that is looking clearly on serving and assisting the cooperatives out of the gap that we identified from 2005 to 2014 as the NC government. So it is quite relevant, I mean, points that you are raising, and the Honorable Mabat.
I think that let us stop here, and then agree that we will continue on Friday, but in terms of the report, we have made a determination that the department can use the review report to develop a stress test on issues where there are agreements and on issues that they are still disagreements. We will get the facts, they are processed, and they will come back here having been agreed upon. We have an invitation to attend
before the invitation, in the conclusion that we just done, I would think that that we talk to the issues as we said, those that we have been with the thesis and the text should not be done. In that spirit, I would then say that the DC has to withdraw some of the letters that are sent, like the Flowen one, to see that not to give them any charge or money while he's still trying to debate. So, need to write that is still on the wall. Let them get the necessary budget.
Yes, I do have a copy of that link. It's part of that. Because if then the SIDA implements the what the letter says, it will then mean that although we are saying let's put a hold on this, then there will be a continuous implementation. So let us defer this one as well. FISA should not act and terminate whatever relationship they had with Karen until we have completed the consultation process. But we are not saying Tina. That we are saying the DG, because the DG that has said SIDA must withdraw, then the DG will withdraw that instruction so that we engage in this process of consultation before the implementation of that, because there is a big disagreement in this one. Then what is going to happen is that we are having a strengthening of the department and of the portfolio committee. We are expecting that it's over 2 days. We are expecting that the department will present its strengthening, and we will also have the review presentation by SIDA and SIPA, and then we will have we will be having facilitators then who will be assisting us to develop the stress plan of the portfolio group. The first day will be spent on discussing the stress plan of the department and all those things, and what parliament, we will have an input on the stress plan of parliament. We will look at the review of SIDA and SIPA and their stress plan. And on the second day, we will then get into the development of the direction of the portfolio committee, which is a monitoring that we will do. If there is a bill, we must see that how many bills we will have to process between now and 2019. If we are planning to take oversight, we should indicate how many oversight. If we are planning to take undertake a study, so we should say and post all that. And then the following Wednesday, the portfolio committee will then approve its president, which will then enable the portfolio committee to be allocated funding that is informed by Parliament, funding that is informed by the work that the portfolio committee is aligned with the return expenditure framework.
Checking to ask a question. So do you expect the department to be there on the Saturday? Sounds as if you're saying the portfolio committee will be doing its own planning on the Saturday. You expect us to do input on the Friday?
We will be together for the 2 days. Okay, the committee is invited to the incubation conference in Calabar State. But then, on the issue of delegation, in the past, in the first parliament, second parliament, and third parliament, we never used to take the entire committee when we were undertaking oversight, study calls, and attending conferences. We used to have a delegation representing the portfolio committee on a proportional basis. If we were going to be having a delegation of five, it was always three ANC members, one from the official opposition and one from the smaller party. And then we would rotate the smaller party. And if we were having a delegation of seven, we would have four ANC, two from the official opposition, and one from the smaller party. I don't know again what changed that in the first parliament to make everybody go, which has been identified as English. Because the whole committee goes. Whereas we could reduce that cost by having a delegation that is present in the committee. And we are then asked to go back, to consider going back to that practice of having a delegation. I'm not asking us to conclude on that matter now. I am going to consult with the House Chairperson on this as to whether we are now requested to start that practice now or it will kick in the new financial year. And I will then report back during the strike year. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So when will we be there?
Only the 10th and 11th of March. Thank you very much. I just want to make sure.
No. What did you do? Para el partido.